Insider with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and KMAN Sports Director, John Kurtz.
Welcome into Wildcat Insider. I'm John Kurtz, joined by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Mitch Fortner is with us as well. We've got a lot of positive to talk about after a 2-0 week for the K-State men, getting them back on the right side of the NCAA tournament bubble and now heading to Ames, Iowa and Knoxville, Tennessee this week for a couple of road trips. Wyatt Thompson going to be on here the first hour, so we'll cover plenty of K-State hoops. While he is here in hour two, we'll get an update on the K-State women with Mitch Fortner. He talked to Kaylee Page earlier today, so we'll hear from her after the K-State women suffered a tough one over the weekend in Ames, Iowa. As always, we can take your phone calls here throughout the show, 537-1350 or 866-776-1350, toll free. You can also tweet your questions or comments to the game KMAN. Well, to start off, not just looking at the game against West Virginia to win that one, but to go win a Big 12 road game, to win two games where it was close down the wire and you actually did get over that proverbial hump and make the plays to win games. K-State needed every bit of that week last week. Just huge for this team this year.
No doubt about it. And I was putting together a report for tomorrow, this afternoon, and listening back to some of the comments of some of the K-State players in the post-game press conference. And Kamau Stokes was talking about, there's one segment there where he talked about what's the difference in the tight games between this past week and previous. And basically, it's just making plays and closing out the game. And it's such a great feeling to see them do that. And I think you're absolutely right in making it both games and the week, because it made it quite special when, A, you win in Stillwater, where you have had the dickens of a time beating them ever, or at least most recently, and then coming back and beating, at the time, the seventh-ranked team in the country and really playing awfully good basketball to do it, in particular in the second half. I can't get the numbers out of my head in that second half where K-State basically is shooting 54%, Mountaineers shoot 38%, and Kansas State in the second half had 5 turnovers. Overcame the most bizarre technical foul I believe I've ever seen. It was a hell of a win. Great week.
Absolutely was. I it seems obvious to sit here and say, okay, stacking two wins back-to-back together is a huge deal. Obviously it is. You need to do that if you're going to make the tournament and be a good team. But Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star actually is the one who pointed this out in his column that he wrote. K-State's last 8 Big 12 wins had been followed by losses. So this is something that this team just really hadn't done. So there is more importance to it than just the obvious of, okay, you gotta do that at some point in time. But this team is not used to doing that.
Well, one thing that I think should be talked about here a little bit is that I think so many want to compare this group with last year. And I believe I understand why, but I believe it's the wrong thing to do. And I do, because this is a different time. It's much like, think about the differences in maturity of the Kansas State football team from 2015 to 2016, and the K-State basketball team from 2016 to 2017. It's hard to compare them. That's, I guess, the point. And even though they've lost a couple of two or three really hard, tough, close games at the end, now that they've won these two, I just don't think you can overstate the importance of it and the confidence it gives this group of guys. We don't know what's going to happen this week. They could go 0-2 this week, frankly, pretty easily. Hilton Coliseum, we think it's been hard to win in Stillwater. Yeah. K-State's lost 5 in a row at Hilton. They haven't won there since 2011. You know, when we went to Tennessee in 2014, it was a 1-point loss. They're 10-9, but if you get a little bit more involved and closely look at their 10-9 slate, close loss at North Carolina, close loss to Gonzaga. They've played some decent basketball with a pretty young team. So they're more than capable, especially at home. So, again, trying to carry it over, I even feel, to be honest with you, John, like I kind of saw it in our guys, just the confidence of that, just being at practice for 5 minutes today. You can just see that it was quite gratifying, satisfying, joyous, whatever you want to say, all of the above, finding a way to win two tough games this week.
they learned to fight through some of the adversity from earlier this year, it would appear, in close game situations. And yeah, that's the big picture view. Inside the game, I thought they learned and displayed an ability to bounce back from that as well with two key stretches. I mean, to me, the two biggest portions of the game for K-State were, one, the 10-0 run at the end of the first half when you had fallen behind by 12, and then the second is what you mentioned earlier. You get the bizarre technical on Wesley Awundu. Then all of a sudden, West Virginia rips off an 11-0 run, and after dominating almost the entire second half, you're down by one. They stayed calm, didn't panic, made plays, and won the game. Those were really the defining stretches of the game.
No doubt. I go back first and foremost to the 10-0 run, because at that particular moment when they're down 12, and I understand it, but K-State wasn't playing with a lot of emotion at that point. The building was a little bit down. I think everybody was. And to find a way to cut that from 12 to 2 in what seemed like a blink of an eye I believe they had all of the momentum coming out in the second half, and I think they proved it, because not only was it a 10-0 run to end the first half, it basically was 28-15 to start the second half and to go up 64-53. And I won't say they're cruising, but I will say until the bizarre call, they were in control of the game. After that, it got a little dicey and basically went to the wire.
Totally in control. I mean, totally. You know, you built up an 11-point lead. K-State was ahead by double digits. All of a sudden, it seemed like for most of the second half, which was crazy considering where the game was. Because you're right, the general feel in the building in the first half for most of it was, I just felt kind of like a here we go again type of thing. This is going to be a frustrating loss. It's hard to really find your footing against West Virginia once they started getting their press going after the first media timeout. It was deflating. And just in the blink of an eye, I mean, it was about a two-minute stretch there, and some big plays by unheralded guys like Corby Irvin really helped out.
He was huge in that last couple of minutes of the first half. I mean, big time huge. Really appreciate what he's giving K-State right now, even if it is just in a 14-15 minute a game stretch. He's really done a nice job. I think for me, one of the real things about this that I take out of it is that when K-State started to get the thing turned in their favor, it was done with aggressive play at the end of the half, started into the second half, and when they were aggressive against West Virginia, they were pretty darn good. And I hope that they take that out of it too. They were aggressive on the offensive end. In the second half, you go back. I mean, I'll go back to the field goal percentage at 53.8%. They made 14 of 26 shots. That's terrific offense. They were finishing. They shot it well. They're 3 of 6 from 3, 12 of 19 at the free throw line, all certainly acceptable numbers. Against a team that had a pretty tough week, you want to talk about one end of the spectrum to the other. You think about West Virginia going into this past week, they have Oklahoma at home and Kansas State on the road, and they're rolling. They have to be thinking, this is a great stretch for us.
Chalk another two up.
And then all of a sudden, they're bloody to the mouth. It can change in an instant, no doubt.
It can. And Bob Huggins was certainly frustrated after the game, but part of the reason he was frustrated, really the biggest reason he was frustrated, was the fact that his team was not taking care of the ball. And that, I think, if you want to pinpoint something that was perhaps the biggest key from the box score, if you're just looking at the numbers from this game, it's the fact that K-State turned over a team that averaged 11 per game 23 times. Mm-hmm. And it's doubly important against West Virginia, because when you turn them over, they don't get a chance to set up their press off of a made shot.
Well, they press regardless.
Not the way that they want to, right?
Correct. But you're right and correct in that their press is better after a made basket, because you do have that second to get set, and it just – they do such a fine job with that. But, again, K-State turned the ball over 16 times, but only 5 in the second half. And if with West Virginia's turnovers – I don't know how many you would say just off the top of your head were unforced errors on their part. I'm going to say maybe 7 or 8 or 9. Do you think that's overstating it?
Probably in the ballpark.
Yeah. I don't know that. That's just a guess off the top of my head. But that they, and I think that's where what you're talking about with Coach Huggins with his frustration, is that they did not take care of the ball the way they normally do. And you know, shots from game to game, shots are going to come and go. They make their hay with the consistency of which they rebound, and that's the other thing that we'll probably talk about here in this particular segment. At shoot around, I can just tell you the rebounding part of it was a paramount thing from the Kansas State coaches, whether it's Bruce Weber, Chester Frazier, who had the scout, but they were all involved in it, in the message, we have got to compete on the glass today. And West Virginia ended up winning the rebound battle 37-31, but for a large part of the day, large portion of the day, it was pretty even most of the time.
Well, and you know, you can say what you want about the rebound battle. I think a lot of the concern there is second chance points, because
right.
They want to throw it up, get the rebound, and go score that way. Second chance points, K-State outscored them 16-15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go down the list, K-State had 12 steals, West Virginia had 7. K-State only had 16 turnovers. The Mountaineers had 23. K-State had 10 more points off turnovers than West Virginia. That's kind of flipping things on its head there. West Virginia is supposed to be the team that does all that and wins those categories, and K-State won them, and conversely, they won the game.
Well, and also I think, I mean, maybe we're overemphasizing all of the numbers, but to have a 40-28 advantage in the paint, I think tells you that, first and foremost, DJ with 14-8 played pretty well. Dean had 13-5, and yet a lot of those were off the dribble buckets. And that's the aggression that I was talking about a moment ago. You get them broken down a little bit, and much like the Oklahoma State game, just lower your head and go. And more times than not, it seemed at least like K-State was getting to and finishing at the rim.
Yeah, there was a definite stretch there where it felt like every time down the floor, that's mm-hmm. what K-State was doing, just attacking with the guards, and they were having no problem getting to the rim. And K-State wound up with 5 players, again, between 13 and 15 points. That's been the recipe all year. That was the recipe again for the Wildcats in the win over the Mountaineers, 79-75. Lots more to talk about from that game, and we're going to get to it here on Wildcat Insider. In hour two, you'll hear from Kaylee Page of the K-State Women at 540. But when we come back, hear a little bit from Kamau Stokes, who you wouldn't have known he had an ankle issue. By the way, he played 36 minutes. He played more minutes, or as many minutes, that is, as anybody out there on the floor. So we'll get into what he had to do to gut it out coming up here on Wildcat Insider.